Well, good morning. So far, you know, I just thought I'm crying at weddings. I guess the first wedding we went with my wife, she was very surprised because I'm this big guy, toughy, but boy, I started crying. So now he knows we go any kind of wedding, we cry. Now, there was lots of water up there. You didn't see me, okay? But guess what I was doing? Boy, oh boy. I was crying. Praise the Lord. It's such an honor for us to be back, and it's such an honor for us to experience all the love we receive from Redeemer Bible Church. It's such a wonderful relationship. Thank you for praying for us, and thank you for being part of our ministry. Thank you for encouraging us, and we are learning so much from this church, from individually so many of you. But let me start with a story, and a story that relates to this passage in the Bible. And this is the story of Adam, okay? Adam was 10 years old, just 10, and he lived in the next town. His mom was a Baptist believer, but his dad was so much against Christianity that actually dad did not even allow Adam and his mom and his brother to pray at meals. So dad said, nope, you can't do anything like that. But they kept going to that small Baptist church, and that Baptist church is about 8 people, and the average age is well over 60. And Adam went, but didn't understand anything. When Adam was about 10, his mom sent him to our camp. And I remember little Adam was sitting in the pew, just like you guys are sitting right here. And he was listening. He was listening on the first night when we talk about sin and separation from Christ and the consequences of sin and all the bad things that are out there in the world and the suffering and the cause of it. And he listened on the second night we talk about Jesus Christ, that he died for all sins and he rose from the grave and he gives hope and he gives love and he gives a new life. And he changes you in and out. And it gives you a new beginning. And little Adam, 10 years old, he was listening. And there came the third night, and that's the most wonderful. Then we tell the children that it's not enough to know these facts. You need to make a decision. And that's when we explain them that you have to trust Jesus Christ. You have to personally believe that he died for you, that he rose from the grave. And you need to follow him. And so at the end of that service, at the end of the message, I give an invitation. And lo and behold, with scores of other kids, there comes Adam. He comes forward, sits down with the counselors, and they pray, they talk it through. And then Adam stays, and stays for the next week of camp. And then when he turns 12, he comes for like 3-4 weeks of camping. And once he turns 14, he comes for camp and helps whatever he can. And during the year, we have a conference. Guess who is our first helper? Adam. We have a Bible school opening. Who is serving dishes? Adam. We have a guest group coming in. Who is helping them in the castle? Adam. He became like a piece of furniture in the castle, really. He was all over there. And Adam turns 18, and we think, wow, this is a young man. He wants to come to us, and he goes to law school. Ugh. But after 1 year of law school, it became so obvious for him that God is not calling him to be a lawyer, but God is calling him to serve other young people. So Adam comes to our Bible school, and he goes through with flying colors. And at the end of his first year, he became an intern / Bible school student. And then he became a camp counselor and director of all the camp volunteers. And here comes the great part of the story. 3 months ago, in January 2016, I sat down with Adam, my director, and myself, and we told him, Adam, God is using you. You are gifted as a speaker, as a leader. We saw your life, and we would like you to be assistant camp director. So I'm right here. And a child who was sitting in the pew 12 years ago is now managing all the things that have to be done so that camp would be in place. And there is a team of like 4 or 5 young people who help him, but he is the leader. Let the little children come to me. Let the little children come to me. You know, I never thought of Adam as 10 years old that he has such potential. But he came to Christ, he meant it. And now he's one of our missionaries, and he's serving other children. How do I look at children? How do we look at children? You know, sometimes, yes, I know, we have 3 children. They can be annoying. I know how that feels. You know, one of the tools of studying the Bible is repetition. If something is repeated, that's important. And I feel like a big Bible study game because I need to repeat some things 10 times, 20 times, and with no effect, it seems, okay? Sometimes annoying. Sometimes tiring, but do I look at them as an annoyance or a great opportunity? You know, Do they wear me or do they thrill me? And our Lord Jesus Christ wants me and wants us to see children the way he sees them. Let me repeat that sentence. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants me and wants you and wants all of us to look at children the same way he is looking at children. And we can learn from them so much. Their sincere, undoubting faith, their potential, their love and devotion to the Savior, their prayers. See, I have three simple points for you today, just three. And the reason for that is I cannot remember more than three, so I'll try to remember my points. But the three points are this. Lessons from Jesus, okay, that's one. Lessons from and for children, and lessons for adults. Before jumping into the text, let me just talk about the context a bit. This passage in the Gospel of Mark, the context of that, just as in any of the Gospels, is kingdom, okay? When I'm teaching my students, I'll tell them this. This is kingdom, this is Easter Bunny. So this is kingdom, okay? We talk about the kingdom. Kingdom. Jesus is the king. Jesus is the Messiah, son of David. Jesus is the one whose arrival is proclaimed by John the Baptist. Jesus is the one to whom all the prophets are pointing. Jesus is the king. And he requires repentance. That's the major theme. He's the king. He does kingly things. He heals. He teaches. He casts out demons. He gives sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He does the things of the king. And you know, the disciples kind of start understanding that. For sure, they understand the fact that Jesus is the king. They do not really understand what it means that he's going to be a suffering king. They do not really understand the fact that Jesus Christ has to go to Calvary. He was rejected, and he's going to open a new chapter in the plan of God. They don't understand that. But they understand the one thing, that he is the king, and he is dealing with the things of a king. Now, in this country, there is a Senate and a House of Representatives. In Hungary, there is a parliament. And, you know, they mind the business of the country. And they discuss some important things and some not that important things. One thing is common. When the house is in session, children are not running in and out, okay? Mom, I forgot my snack. Mom, I need some money. No, that's not happening. They discuss important matters. So you need to understand that's the mindset of the disciples. Right in this context, Jesus is talking about divorce, an important issue. He is confronting the teaching of the religious leaders. And he is confronting them. Important matter. So the disciples rightly think that, hey, Jesus is dealing with the things of a king. He don't have time for babysitting. He don't have time for little children. He only has time for kingly things. So the disciples thought that this was the time for kingly business, you know, not for child care and babysitting. That's the mindset. That's why they say, stop. King is in session, okay? You just can't just enter the king's court. But, you know, Jesus thinks differently. Jesus thinks differently. If you look at the context, and you just need to go back one chapter, Mark 9, 33, 34, gives us a glimpse in what people thought of children. Let me just read that section for you. Mark 9, 33, 34. And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12. And he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him into his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. What is the point of Jesus? Contrast. The disciples are talking about who is the greatest. I know he's the king. I want to be second. And Jesus tells them, you want to be the greatest? Be the smallest. That's how that society thought about children. It was different than our society. Jesus is contrasting. You want to be the greatest? Be like one of that child. You need to understand that infant mortality, and I looked up the figures, infant mortality at that time was very high, very high. About 25% of babies in the first century did not survive their first year, and about half of the children would die before the age of 10. Okay, so they thought of children very differently. And so that's why the great contrast. You want to be the biggest? become like the least significant, like the children. And the disciples think, wow. And now Jesus is teaching, doing kingly business, teaching, and the least insignificant, the least important ones come, and their mindset is still not right. They say, stop. But that gives us into a glimpse of Jesus' heart, because Jesus says, come. And so the first lesson from Jesus is this. Children are very significant and very important to Jesus. And when you look at this Greek word, paideia, that's the Greek word, that can mean anybody from ages of three, all the way up to 14. Children, they are important for Jesus, the way they are. Jesus loves them. And the word indignant says that Jesus is feeling, is characterized by a strong displeasure when these disciples say, stop. He almost feels it offensive, insulting, you know. Jesus is very happy when children are allowed and brought to him. Jesus thinks of little children very important. This is such an encouragement for me. We do children's evangelism in the camp and all year round. And I see those little eyes. And I think of them and I say, wow, Jesus loves them. And the little questions they have, sometimes stupid as they are important for Jesus. Silly as they are, but they are important for Jesus. The little Legos are important for Jesus, and Barbie dolls, and little fears, and insecurities. Everything they do, say, or think, they are important for Jesus. Do I think like that? Do I have time for them? I have many friends and family members, and they say, well, I'm working so much to give everything to my child. And they do give everything to the child. The newest gadgets and great vacations, they just don't give one thing, time. Though time is much more important. Jesus loves children, and Jesus does give them time. Think about it. He does the business of the king, teaches, preaches, heals, gives sight. Yet he says, I do have time for children. Even in the most important discussion, I do have time for children. They are significant for me. Are they for you? Are they for me? Do I think this way? And there's a second lesson from Jesus Christ. And that is that Jesus thinks that they can understand and believe his message. They are in a fitting condition to receive the truth. Now think about it. The message then was this. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The message today is this. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and rose from the grave. And when Jesus says, let them come to me, he says this, they are ready to come to me. They are ready to be with me. They are ready to hear this. They are ready to understand this. They are ready to trust the Savior. A 5-year-old is ready to do that. And an 8-year-old is ready to do that. And a 9-year-old is ready to do that. And you don't need seminary knowledge for them to understand that. Children can and do understand the message. And children do genuinely repent. And children can be born again. It's not just something for teenagers or older. No. Children can and children do follow Jesus Christ. We have to become like them. We have to believe just like them. The classic illustration for that is, you know, a child jumping from somewhere above into the hands of an adult. My children tried that when they were little. I hope they are not trying it now. They are big. But they did. And I catch them. I caught them. So the two lessons from Jesus. Jesus thinks that they are significant. They are important. They deserve all the time they need to be with the Savior. And second, they can and they do receive the truth. They can be genuinely born again. Now, here's the second part. Lessons from and for children. And probably the first one is the most significant. We can learn from children about their faith and trust. You know, children want to go where it's good for them. I know that. Yesterday, I was taking my children to a treehouse, okay? And this treehouse is like the mother of all treehouses. You should see this, really. I mean, this is unbelievable. There's like two trees, and this wonderful couple that just built this whole complex of rooms, and it's like a mini castle. So when I was telling my children, we are going to the treehouse, they said, no, I don't want to go. I just want to sit here home and being bored. No, I couldn't hold them back. And when the time came that we had to leave, they didn't want to leave because children want to go where it's good for them. Children wanted to go to Jesus because it's good for them to be with Jesus. They trust in Jesus. They have faith in Jesus. They have sincere, undoubting, non-questioning reliance of Jesus. They trust Jesus. They trust their parents. They are so honest. Just to lighten up, I found some children's prayers on the internet. And let me read you some, how honest they can be. How much they are without hypocrisy. Here is one. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I asked for was a puppy. I never asked for anything before. You can look it up. Joyce. Here's another one. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other as much if they each had their own rooms. Watch this. It works out okay for me and my brother. No, here's another one. Dear God, I do not think anybody could be a better God than you. Well, I just want you to know that. I am not just saying that because you are already God. Oh, dear God, I did not think orange went well with purple until I saw the sunset you made on Tuesday night. That was really cool. Dear God, I love this one. Dear God, is Reverend Smith a friend of yours, or do you just know him through the business? Or, dear God, please send Dennis Clark to a different summer camp this year. Peter. You know, the way they pray, the way they think and relate to God is honest. There is no hypocrisy. When it hurts, it hurts. When they are happy, they are happy. I should learn from my children. I bet you should too, from your children, grandchildren. They do believe. They do have faith. They do have trust. Let's learn from them. Let's learn from them. Let's trust in Jesus fully, without hesitation. Let's run to him. Let's not put up these masks. Let's be who we are. Let's have their faith. That's what Jesus is telling us. He's not saying, I'm just using these children as an illustration for 21st century audiences. No. Be like them. They are okay. You should be like them. And here's a second one, lessons for children. And I'm glad I see some children because this is just as important. Stay with Jesus. Choose Jesus. Do not run someplace else. See, I've been working with children and teenagers for 25 years or even more. And I saw so many children making bad decisions. They got some hurt, something was not right, and they just ran someplace else. And you know, the devil is out there. The devil is out on the internet. The devil is out on the street corners. The devil is sometimes in the entertainment they choose, in the friends they choose, just cannot wait to devour them. They run someplace else because they think that they will get the security. It's a false security. They will get the love. It's a false love. They will get the happiness, but it's not happiness. Next morning, you're going to wake up with a bitter taste in your mouth. These children run to places they shouldn't run, and they hurt and harm themselves. Children, stay with Jesus. Children, stay with Jesus. Choose him. Even if it doesn't always make sense, why? He loves you the way you are. If you did something bad, he still loves you. If you don't feel good, he still loves you. If you don't feel that you need Jesus, he needs you. He wants you to be next to him. The best place for any child is Jesus. I saw too many children abused. I saw children who were addicts of smoking. I mean, 14-year-old girl and just smoke. I saw children last summer, it was heartbreaking. Little girl, 13 or 14, coming from an institute, and she was put out on the streets. Let me not continue why. Children who need Jesus and got something else. Children who make bad choices. Children, stay with Jesus. The story is so moving because the parents are taking the kids where it's the best for them. And Jesus says, this is the best place for them. Any other solution is a counterfeit. Anything else is a counterfeit. And finally, here is some lessons for me and you, for us adults. The first one is, bring them to Jesus. Now, we are raising a family. Many of you have grandchildren or children or great-grandchildren. We constantly need to ask the question from ourselves, what can I do to bring my kids to Jesus? You know, there are so many choices out there. What kind of school is my kid going to go to? What kind of high school? What kind of college? What kind of friends will he have? What's he going to do in his life? But the first question should always be like this. What do I do to bring him to Jesus? Now, obviously, you know, you can only bring the kid to Jesus if you are going to him. That's not a question. You can only bring it to him if you believe in him. Many years ago, probably 10 years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine. And this guy, when he was 17, he used to be my camp program director. He was on fire for the Lord. But in his senior high school year, he made some choices that were not wise. And for 10 years, he was not walking with the Lord. And when his first child was born, we were talking. And he says, you know, I made some choices I'm not proud of, but what can I do so that my children would go in the church and would follow Jesus? Yeah, I guess the answer is simple. You should do it first. And thankfully, he listened. And he and his wife went back to the church. And now they are leaders in the church and serving in the church. And their kids are growing in the church. Bring them to Jesus. That's the primary lesson. And that's not just for parents. It's for grandparents as well and great-grandparents. I am responsible for my children and the children I reach out in my ministry, but children I meet, my friends' children, in a sense, I'm responsible. What do I do to bring them to Jesus? Do I pray for them? Do I have some children's tracts in my pocket and just give it to them? What do I do? What do I do? Bring them to Jesus. You know, you bring someone to Jesus because you think that he really has to know Jesus. A story comes to mind. I have three brothers, okay? I'm the oldest, and the youngest is 9 years younger. And, you know, in our 20s, we started seeing girls, and that's normal. Maybe the number of girls was a bit higher, but it was normal. But finally, Mom came to the point, and Mom told us, Han, you just bring the one that you're going to marry. Okay, so the next girl I brought home was Sandra. And the rule applied to all my brothers. I brought my Sandra to my mom because it was crucially important. I want to bring my children to Jesus because he's the one for them. I want them to spend their life with Jesus, knowing Jesus. I love Jesus because I know who he is. I love Jesus because I know what he did for me. I love Jesus for what he has been doing for me. And I want them to see that too. Here's another hint. Do you do family devotions? Now, our family does, but please do not think about a Redeemer like holy time. It's lots of laughter, sometimes screaming, sometimes, quiet, please, quiet, 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 I'm reading Bible. But every night, we try to do a little family devotion. We pray for each other, we give thanks, and read a small section of Scripture. Because I want them to be with Jesus, even if they wiggle, because that's the best place for them. It's more important than watching TV, going online, reading a book, doing homework, anything else. They have to be with Jesus. You can do that too. And you know, the final lesson for us adults, in matters of faith, we should be like children. You know, children do understand the message and the love of Christ, and their decisions are genuine. I have to make such genuine decisions. And you know, the more I know from Scripture, the more decisions I face. One of the dangers of teaching the Bible and going to seminary is this. I understand more from Scripture, so I'm responsible to obey more and make more decisions. They are not easy. But I want to be like just like my children in my decisions. I want to have their faith. I want to learn from them. Three lessons. Lessons from Jesus. Children are important for him. And children are in the right condition to trust him. lessons from and for children. Their faith, their trust, we should learn from them. And they should stay with Jesus. And lessons for us adults, we cannot avoid the responsibility. And we have to follow them. I would like to finish this message with a short video clip. This is the story of a young lady. Her name is Lily. Lily is now 25. And she's going to tell you her story, how she came to Jesus and what Jesus did to her life. I hope it's going to be encouraging for all of you.
Our ministry is reaching out to thousands of young Hungarians each year. Now, we would like to present the story of Lily, a young Hungarian lady who is presently a Bible school student. So, Lily, how did you hear about Word of Life the first time, and how did you come here the first time?
Oh, I wanted to look for a summer camp where I can study English and German as well. And my mother were looking on the internet, and she found this camp, and she found the website of Word of Life Hungary, and she said that, okay, me and my sister can come here, and we can study English with the native speakers. So that's why we came here for the first time.
Okay, so you just came here for the English, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Was your family religious?
Oh, no. Like, we were Catholics, but we didn't go to church, and I didn't hear about Jesus or God.
So what did you think about coming here and hearing about the gospel and Jesus Christ? What was your impression?
This was the first time I heard that Jesus died for me and that he loves me so much, and it really touched me. So I think after a few days, God really worked in my heart, and I got saved when Lati was preaching on one of the evenings, and I was really touched, and I just received Christ immediately because I realized that he's the one who is missing from my life.
And Lily, how did your life change after that?
I can say that, like, everything changed in my life. Because I came back after that every year to the summer camp, but as a volunteer, and I could really grow here spiritually, and I could study the Bible, and even at home I started to read the Bible, and I tried to do that every day. And first it was hard at school because I had to tell my classmates that now I'm a Christian, and I told my friends, and I shared it with my father, and I remember that he was laughing at me, and he didn't really believe that. Now I am Christian and I believe in Jesus Christ. But this place really helped me to be more confident in my faith and to know more about the Word of God.
Okay, so after spending many years here as a camp volunteer, how did you come to the decision to come to the Bible school?
As a volunteer, I always met people who were BI students. So I was kind of envious of them because I saw that they have a very great knowledge of the Bible, and I saw that their faith is really strong. So I also wanted to come here for several years, but my father was really against me coming here, even to the camp and even to the BI. But a tragedy happened, and he died. But if I can say that the good part was that I could make decisions for God more after that. So I decided that God really wants to see me here, and I really want to grow in faith, and I want to know the Word of God better. So I just decided this year to come here.
And tell me about your ministry. What is your ministry? What is the one thing you love the most?
My ministry is a youth group that we organize for the summer volunteers, and this is every Friday, and we meet them, we sing together, and we teach them, and I really like to talk to them and see how important it is for them to meet during the year as well, and not just during the summer. But I also wait for the summer to meet the campers and to meet the volunteers, because I see how God is changing their lives, and I know that I got saved here too, so that's why the camp is very important for me. So I want to help them to get to know Christ and to grow in their faith.
And one final question. When you think about your future, what kind of thoughts you have?
I'm considering to be a missionary I'm not 100% sure yet, but God is really working my heart, and I'm praying what to do. And I think Word of Life is a really good choice. So I really like what Word of Life does here in Hungary and also other countries. So it would be really good to be a part of this ministry.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good. Did you know that Lily...
Our ministry is reaching...
Oops, no. Not again. Did you know that Lily lives in your family? Did you know that Lily lives in your neighborhood? Did you know that Lily lives in Dallas and in Garland and in Mesquite? And Lily and her friends wait for you? Bring them to Jesus. The message is for you and I. Let the little children come to me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love little children. You love children. You see the potential in them. You see that they are ready to receive the truth. And it's our responsibility to bring them to you. Our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, children in the neighborhood, friends' children, whoever we see, kindly, gently, lovingly, we should point the way to you, the Savior. We want to obey. We want to let the children come to you, because that's the best place for them. We want to become like them, because we have so much to learn. In your name we prayed, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.